Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Tigger is wallowing on the ground in front of me as I walk down to the end of the driveway. I just sat on the steps a minute, collecting my thoughts, and the neighbor was leaving with his, it's probably about a 1986 Civic, which is his work car, and it makes pretty loud fuss, and he usually sits there a few minutes, 5 minutes, lets it run to warm up, and so I didn't want all that noise, so I sat here on the steps, and Tigger came up. I had already given her some dry food, and she's just flopping all over, rubbing on her back.
Good morning. Yeah. I'm a good cat. Yeah.
She's wanting to jump on my shoulders, but I don't want that this morning because I'm getting ready to leave. But anyway, it is 29th of July, 2010, Thursday morning. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning, might be 5 to 6. And 74 degrees, very humid. The skies, as I look out to the south and southeast, there are just some broken clouds. Very beautiful. But the sky is not full of clouds, but there are quite a few in that area. And then as I look back around, there are just puffy clouds all over, and it's not getting daylight good yet. Although the sun is beginning to show. We're at that time of year now where when I come out, it's usually pretty close to dark. But it's good to have you along with me. This is episode 61 of the 20 Minute Runner, and it's great to have you here. You may have noticed in the opening dialogue that we are now practicing the Qi running method, and it's official. I believe I am a convert. And although I don't have it down yet, I am still learning and working on it, and it's really not that complicated. But repetition, as you know, helps create learning, and so I'm trying to go over those concepts in my mind, and even as I run repetitively, so that I can latch on to them and they become a part of who I am, not simply something I'm learning or that I know about. But it is good to have you along with me this morning. We're going to get running here in just a minute, and then I'm going to bring you back in as we get into the run. But it's just great to have you with me. If you were here last week, you remember, or last episode, you remember that we talked about how to avoid heel strike, the importance of landing midfoot for Qi running, and today we're going to be covering another topic. But again, it's good to have you with me on this muggy summer morning. It's been several days where we have been out of the 90s, upper 80s still. Had rain occasionally. We had 0.7 inch of rain day before yesterday. And it is causing things to grow, and I'll tell you more about that later. But we're still in the humid, hot days of summer. Chance of thunderstorm just about every afternoon, which is good, and we have had some of those. And we are out of the mid to upper 90s, at least for now, hovering near 90. I think today's supposed to be 90 with about a 20% chance of rain. So it's summer. You know, August is right around the corner, and we're in the south, so this is what you expect. But hope you've got your running shoes on, and if you're listening somewhere else, I hope you're where you can listen comfortably. I've got some good information to share with you today, and I'm looking forward to that. But right now, we're going to get started on this run, and I'll bring you back in just a few minutes. Again, thanks for being with me. You're listening to episode 61 of the 20 Minute Runner. I'm finally beginning to really understand the feeling that you get when you are running the proper method using the Qi method. It's literally, you're not pushing your legs, they're just along for the ride almost, relaxed. And you've got enough of a forward lean from the ankles, it's like a sustained fall. And even going up hills, it's amazing. If you lean properly, which we'll get more about that, we'll talk more about that in a future episode, but if you get that done properly, even going up the hills, you will find it's much easier, believe it or not. Okay, it's great. We're learning. I hope you're learning, and hope this is beginning to open up some new possibilities for you, especially if you've been dealing with injuries, as I have, both hips, both knees, which, you know, I still have just a little bit of a twinge in the left knee, but it bothers me more after I sit for a time at my desk and get up than it does when I'm out on the road. I noticed yesterday, had a counseling session last night, left the church about 6:30, and I'd sat there probably an hour and 20 minutes with this couple, and when I got up, I had the pain in my left knee. This morning I'm feeling it just a bit, but again, if I can practice relaxation of the entire body, but the lower body, especially from hips down, which I'm consciously trying to do, it seems to help. I am not wearing my knee strap today, because the knee was not bothering me when I left, and hopefully today it's going to be minimal. I did get an email from someone relative to that, and I'll share that later in this podcast. Before we get into what I want to talk about in this episode, I just want to encourage you, if you're new to the program, you might want to go back and pick up episodes 57, 58, I think it's 58, and 60. They'll have Qi in the title, some form or other. But if you might want to go back and listen to those episodes before you hear what we're having to say today. While you don't have to do that, you might see where we've been and what some of my thought processes have been as we've worked through this, trying to convert over to the Qi running method. Okay, I'm trying to level my hip and lean from the ankles. My left knee still bothers me. It doesn't seem to get worse, but again, we're dealing with that, but we'll keep going. Okay, today we want to talk about overpronation. Last week, we talked about how to avoid the heel strike, which you can go back and listen, but basically you want to learn to run and land midfoot. Today we're going to talk a little more about that even, as far as relates to pronation, in the sense that we need to learn to level our feet, balance our feet, and adjust how we're running depending on whether we overpronate or don't pronate enough maybe. I'm not sure about the underpronation, but anyway, you'll hear what is going to be shared. We sometimes run with our feet turned out. See, I'm trying to think. Pigeon-toed is when your toes are turned in, isn't it? Okay, this is when your feet are splayed out a little bit. And you may do this and not consciously be aware of it. But like right now as I'm running, I'm looking down at my feet and trying to make sure they are always pointed in the direction I'm running. I don't want them splayed out, as it were. Maybe at a 30-degree angle out, you don't want that. You want them in a straight line, parallel to one another, just about shoulder width apart. And even as you turn a curve, like I'm turning a cul-de-sac right now, your feet should turn with you. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But when your foot goes forward, pointed out, your knee wants to remain straight. And so basically, the forward direction and the feet being splayed out just a bit creates a turning of the lower leg. Knees forward, foot turned outward, therefore it twists. Good morning. Oh, that's the way it goes. Morning. Keep it up, you'll get there. Morning. The guy in the van last episode, or the Jeep, the guy that he was following, now has his sister and looks like his mother. Sister and the boy are running. The mother's walking a fast clip, but anyway, they're trying to obviously get into a running program. So I want to encourage anybody, no matter how old or young they are, if they have that desire and that passion, we want to do that. But anyway, as your feet are turned out and your knees forward, when you land, your knee wants to continue that forward momentum, but your foot is not leading it into that. And so what happens is you have a twist, the runner's twist. And runner's knee is caused when this tears the tendons or severely irritates them from twisting. And believe you me, I don't know if that was the exact cause of my runner's knees problems back several weeks leading up to the marathon. Would have been back toward the beginning of the year sometime. But man, I want to tell you, hip problems are no fun, but hurting knees aren't fun either. And so if your knees are hurting, I think today's episode might be able to, should be able to benefit you. Run with your feet, as we stated earlier, pointed in the direction you want to go. Not splayed out, not turned in like pigeon toed, but just forward to the direction that you want to go. And don't just turn your foot in, but you want to take your whole leg from the hip and make sure that, and you know what, I just did that consciously, and the pain in my knee, I noticed a real difference. I'm not really turning my feet in further, but I'm trying to open my hips a little bit and turn them so that they're parallel with the knees, and I can immediately tell that the pressure on my knee is, that relieves that. Again, I'm finding over and over, even as I literally run through this with you, that this really, really works. And in my case, it's a godsend. I really believe that. I believe it will be. I believe the weeks and months ahead will prove that out. And it might for you as well, if you decide to go this route. And listen, one other thing. If you're not into chi running and you're not wanting to get into chi running, you're perfectly happy with what you're doing, even though I would encourage you to try it out for various reasons, which we'll talk about later in the episodes to come. But even if you're not into it, hang in there, because this entire episode won't be about it. A good portion of it will, but not the whole episode. So if you want to learn about some other things that are happening in my life, although most of those are not going to be about running, I encourage you to stay tuned in. But give me another 3-4 weeks max, and we'll get off the chi running and move into other more familiar topics. I know we've picked up a few listeners as we have gotten into this, so I know you are interested in it. But if by chance you're listening and you're not, that's okay. Hang in there. Realize it's a phase I'm going through as far as podcast. Not as far as my running. It's here to stay, I believe, but we'll work through this. But I do want to give you as much information as I can during this series that we're doing. So you want to turn your whole leg, take your hip, and you'll see this in the video. When you get started, literally, take your hip, and or your hands rather, and turn your hip inward enough, at least to where it's like everything's lined up. And keep in mind, you want your shoulders over your pelvis, over your knees, over your ankles, and your feet. And then you want to lean from the feet, which is hard to do, from the ankles rather. It's hard to do whenever you're trying to talk. I'm discovering I can't concentrate on it. And I'm not such a whiz at it yet that I can do it without thinking about it. But if you will do that, that uses the abductor muscles. And you want to strengthen these muscles on the inside of your thigh over a period of time. And you'll feel that whenever you turn correctly. You're pointed in the right direction. Pointed in the right direction, so to speak. And that allows you to use them if you will turn. And again, when you're doing that, be careful to not turn your toes in. But you do want them good and straight. Those abductor muscles are much stronger than the muscles around your knee, for instance. And you just want to make sure that you are properly lined up so that you're using them. Weak ankles also cause overpronation. And structure shoes have a stiff arch or medial post to correct it, preventing the rolling in. But the problem has to be corrected by your body. And while the shoe may, you know, initially help out, you're not dealing with the foundational biomechanical issues. And that's what I'm discovering. I'm beginning to think I can probably run in virtually any shoes as this develops and as we continue to work on it. Because I don't need the shoes to control pronation. I need my body to teach me how to do that over again. The problem has to be corrected by your body, not by your shoe. So, I want to remember that. The shoe never will totally adapt you, but your body can. Learn to strengthen the tendons and muscles in the inside of the leg. And Danny Dreyer, whose video is at the blog again, at this post, talking about these very points, this is where I got this information. He says you want to make your feet flat and stable. And again, if you'll maintain your posture like you should, straight back and all that, tilt your pelvis a bit, and lean from your ankles, you'll find it's fairly easy to do the things that are being asked, making them stable. If you ever pronate, you feel too much pressure on the inside. Bow-legged, you have too much pressure on the outside of your feet. Be neutral. That's how the body was designed to move, and that's the way it's the most efficient. So those are some of the issues surrounding the issue of overpronation. Now, what can we do to correct it? Well, there are some things we can do. Glad you asked. If you overpronate, the best way to strengthen your legs is to practice creating a little pressure on the outside of your feet. I'm going to try that right now. Pelvis tilted, back straight, leaning from the ankles, abductors engaged a little bit, and I can feel that definitely as he states. And then a little pressure on the outside of the feet, although I don't think overpronation has been a big problem with me. Evidently it is a part of my problem. Another thing you want to do, which I've mentioned but not talked about today, is related to this. You want to level your pelvis. And basically, what we're talking about there and what he's talking about in the video is your center of chi, as it were, is located sort of around your navel toward the back of your abdominal wall towards your spine. And if you can get that properly aligned, those muscles especially that support that area, if you can get the lean engaged and you get the tilt right, it gives you fairly effortless running. In other words, what you want to do is, if you'll stand and look in the mirror, your pelvis tends to tilt forward. Let's say you're wearing a belt with a belt buckle. That belt buckle's lower than the back loop on your pants, for instance. What you want to do is take one hand and put it on your lower back. Take another hand and put it just maybe just below your belly button. And then you want to thrust almost, tilt the pelvis until your waistband is level. In other words, you don't want your belt buckle lower than the loop on the back of your pants. You want it level. Now, the reason that's important is because as you level that, that helps to properly align your hips, obviously, which in turn affects your legs. And of course, it's all connected from your head to your feet. And so you're wanting to do that, to level that. Just insert something here that I was curious about. How does that affect our necessity to do various exercises? Well, I haven't researched it thoroughly, but I think what I'm beginning to realize is that the leg muscles, if you do chi running properly, the leg muscles, they're going to be as strong as you need them to be. You're not pushing with your legs, allowing your chi to pull you in the middle of your body as you lean and have everything properly aligned. But there are exercises you want to do to strengthen your core. And I would suggest doing some push-ups, things like that for your arms as well. But you really don't need to worry a lot about whether you're going to have shin splints or knee problems. Because if you do it properly, those are not going to be issues, because the problem is not weak legs. The problem is improper form. The correct form, just like right now, I'm running on a flat place across the parking lot. And I just mentally went through all these little things, and I want to tell you, it'll take a little work, but it definitely works. And even though I'm struggling a bit because I've taken a few days off because of my knee, my legs are following me today. I'm running relaxed. So, but anyway, the waistband, you want it to be level, as we said. Hold it level, and it'll help you level your feet. If you have flat feet, this will begin to build strong arches that are supported from the hips all the way down, because the arches are going to be pulled up by the abductor muscles. As you practice that tilting, your core is going to be engaged, chi as it were, it's going to be engaged, and it's going to help do that work and correct that. So you want to be tilting your pelvis to correct it, holding it level. And over time, you can work towards a lesser and a lighter shoe, more flexible, easier to run in, which is what I was talking about a minute ago. Because you don't have all these biomechanical issues you're having to correct, this is so much easier. And long term, we're turning around. Long term, it's going to be, I think, beneficial in more ways than I can really express. The idea, though, is to balance your feet. And too much pressure on the inside, place pressure on the outside. Too much pressure on the outside, place pressure on the inside. Balance the feet. And the whole idea for all of this, of course, is balance. So, quick review. What are we doing today? We are running with our toes pointed. To avoid pronation, what are we doing today? We're running with our toes pointed forward, and we're consciously keeping our whole hip turned forward. Toes are not pointed in. They're straight, not pointed out. And as we engage the entire hip, the abductor muscles on the inside of the thigh are engaged, stabilizing the knee, keeping things in a straight line, which is what you want. And as we lean, our gravity just pulls us along. We also, secondly, are balancing our pelvis, or not balancing, but tilting it, so that the core muscles just sort of squeeze the abdominals below your belly button. You don't want to put pressure on your back, however. If you are, you're not doing it correctly. Just enough to tilt it. Feet pointed straight, pelvis tilted, and then we are concentrating on leveling our feet. running on the outside a bit if our feet tend to turn inward, or running on the inside of our feet if they tend to turn outward. Now that doesn't mean you literally are, you know, putting tremendous pressure, just a little. The idea, as we said a minute ago, is to balance our feet. You want your feet to be level. And of course, we talked about some more issues related to that in the last episode. So, that is the way to prevent overpronation. And according to Danny Dreyer, sounds like virtually anybody can do this, which means I can do it and you can do it. And I really am beginning now to get fully engaged in what this feels like. And I have no knee pain at the moment. And I'm running good. I'm not flying, but I'm running good. And right now, I'm going to stop and get some water, and we'll be back. You're listening to episode 61 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast.
Hold me down to the ground. Break these chains so I can feel your space.
are 52 and a half minutes into this run. We've hit about 5.3 miles. So with the heat and humidity and the fact that, again, with the knee, I've tried to give it adequate rest because I've been there, although I think we're about ready now to get back into our routine. I've been running, just not as much, but I think the knee's going to allow me to get back where I need to be as we prepare for a, hopefully, an October 5K. Excuse me, September 5K and October half marathon again. Cannonball half. But the sun's up. I am hot. I think not running as much lately. Maybe it's telling on me a little bit this morning. But you know what? If you're injured, you've got to rest. There's two ways around it. So, we're making it. Just not the most comfortable run I've ever had. But I did take water about 38 minutes. And then I took a gel at about 45 minutes, which was the ginseng stinger, without anything to wash it down. Not terribly tasty. Plus I'm feeling just a tinge of heartburn, I think, from that. But we are gonna get through this one. I did want to say a couple things. That, number one, if you're new to the show, please understand I'm not a certified Qi trainer, fitness trainer in any stretch of the imagination. I'm simply somebody who is out here doing it, trying to share with you valuable information and hopefully help you to pass some time on the run if you happen to listen when you run. Some people listen other times. And secondly, the further you go, the more your form deteriorates, unless you're strong enough and can consciously prevent it. So, didn't want to give those two points out to you as we continue on this run. We made pepper jelly. I think it was over the weekend. Took a pound of jalapenos out of my yard and pureed them and got them all ready. Mixed them with sugar and no vinegar, of course. Cooked that up. Add your pectin. And while it came out good, it was not as thick as I wanted. But I opened the jar and tasted it. It's a little spicy, but man, it tastes good. It will be good on cream cheese, on crackers, something like that. Probably don't want to make a jelly sandwich out of it, although I guess you could. But we made 10 half-pint jars, and the one I put in the refrigerator, when I opened it, the consistency is fine. You first open it hot off the shelf, not quite as thick as I wanted, but not bad. Put it in the fridge, good to go. We probably are going to make another round of it this summer so that I can give some away for Christmas, things of that nature. But it's going well. And I also wanted to tell you about the big sunflower from 57, that podcast, at the post, at the picture. Sunflower's dying, of course, this time of year. Covered with about 20 heads of seed. And we have got goldfinches, which we've had, but they're coming in abundance to that. So that's pretty incredible to step out and see two and sometimes three of them on this big sunflower plant at one time. But probably won't get a picture of that. If I get out there close enough to take one, seems like they all scatter. But that's pretty neat. Brought in more tomatoes last night than we brought in yet. Had some, I guess you call them, I don't know what you call them. They're the big green worms with the point on their tail. My mother-in-law told me what they were. Look almost like what we called a tobacco worm. great big. I pulled a boatload of those off my tomatoes several days back and then dusted them with sand. Seem to be doing better. I think the heat in spite of the rain and the watering is beginning to tell on some of the items, but we're continuing to grow it and enjoy it. Canned some little things. It's going well. We're still moving, but I'm going to tell you, that sun is up. Humidity is, as I alluded to, is through the roof. I've been running for, soon to be 1 hour, about 15 more seconds. And it's telling on me. So whereas I was wanting to go 7, I think I'm going to cut this one a little bit short, save it for another day. But some runs are like that. They're just, it's been a while since I've had one that really kicked me in the butt like this. Especially no further than I'm going. But the heat and humidity, and I think that's a big part of it. So we're going to hang it up early today. Hey, send me your pictures, emails, audio files, any questions, comments, things like that. Go to iTunes, give me a review if you would. Share the show with others that you know might enjoy listening to the podcast, especially if they're interested in chi running at this particular time. I would appreciate that as well. New to the show? I'm glad you're on board. Thanks for downloading and for clicking and listening today. Always appreciate getting new listeners, including yourself. Whew. I think we're going to have to call it a little early today. The humidity's something, isn't it? Okay, I think we're getting ready to stop. Here we go. Whew. All right. We did cut it just a little bit short today by about a mile or so. That's okay. But if you're new to the show, we're glad to have you on board. I'd love to hear from my listeners. Love to hear from them. I love to hear from them. From you, I guess, is the more proper way to say that. We'll tell you how we did in a minute, but I did want to share a couple quick emails in closing. Hello, Roland. I noticed you two have taken an interest in Danny Dreyer's running method. I like your podcast, by the way. Well, thank you for that. Anyway, in 2008, I tore my right meniscus, small ligament on the left side of the knee. I was 56 at the time and simply overtrained one day and ran too far for the condition I was in and tore it. That injury shut down my running almost completely. I could still manage a half mile now and then, but basically my running days were done. January 2009, I had an arthroscopic knee surgery done to remove the torn meniscus. It was basically just hanging in place, not functioning, and causing bruising of the nearby bones, so I elected to have it removed. 3 weeks after that, and getting the okay from my doctor, I braced everything up well and started doing some short jogs. About the same time, I found Danny Dreyer's book on chi running, started adopting his methods, paying the most attention, keeping my feet just below me on the returns, never in front, and knees slightly bent. And as a result of following his pointers and ideas, I am now nearly back to 100%. With my weekly mileages and planning on a half marathon in October Worldwide Festival of Races, I'm sure you're familiar with. Just cutting off my GPS pod. As a matter of fact, I'm in a 5-mile race this weekend. I feel I could do without the bracing and elastic, but I continue to make them part of my regular gear just for the added protection. To sum up, I feel that book is for real, full of good advice. Thanks, Gary, the regional runner. And by the way, Gary's picture, he is from Washington, Missouri. Gary's picture is at the post under the listener picture section on the right-hand side. And then another email. Roland, thank you for posting my site and video to your blog. Just listen to number 60. Regarding your left knee and side edge of the knee, where it would touch the other knee, keep your feet pointing forward by rotating the whole leg at the hip joint to reduce rotation in the knee and stress on the MCL. Outside edge of the knee, be careful running on the road facing traffic with the left leg landing lower than right. Also look into the concept of levelizing your pelvis to stabilize the pelvis, which reduces stress on the IT band, which attaches at this point. My presentation on this concept, and he gives us there, it's at echifitness.com/lp.html. And of course, I've got the echifitness link at the blog. And then he says, under the knee suggests a landing in front of the body. Under the kneecap, back of the knee, suggests a landing in front of the body with a locked knee and mini hyperextension. And I think part of my problem, just to pause here, to be honest, I really haven't gotten to the place where I've heard a whole lot about running just slightly bent kneed. And I think I still may be, even though it's under me now, I don't put my legs in front. I think I may still be locking that left knee. I need to bend my knees and try that. David continues, as you mentioned, when chi running, never step past your hip. To support that, when chi running, never reach your elbow past your ribs. Reach with your arms, and it is very likely you will reach with your legs. And I have learned that concept, and I'm sure we'll address it later, but you want your arms slightly behind your body, or not in front of your body, maybe is a better way to put it. And then I followed up with that, and David sent me a response. I told him it was the outside of my left knee. Outside of the knee is where the IT band attaches. Stress, pain, injury, mainly due to friction with rotation in the knee. And adjustment one is to keep the feet and knees pointed forward. So we talked about that today. That seems to be a winner. Adjustment two is to keep the feet landing under you and not out in front of you. In chi running, never step past your hip, and we've got that down. Second, he says, more friction if the IT band is tight. Adjustment one is to stabilize the pelvis so the IT band does not have to work hard. Okay, we're working on that. This comes from leveling the pelvis per my previous email. Adjustment two is to limit excess stress on the left knee due to the cant of most roads when running towards traffic. I'm not suggesting anyone ever run with traffic. Just be aware you're stressing the left IT band leg, etc., etc., etc. When that side lands lower. And then David says, I can add into the listener section, and I have posted his picture at the blog, by the way. So David basically reiterates what we've talked about. Keeping your feet pointed, leveling your hips. But Gary, the comment about the knees not being locked, I appreciate that. I'm not through with the chi running book. I'm getting through it, but I haven't reached that particular part, perhaps, but I appreciate that. All right, we ran, let's see how we did today. Not going to be too pretty, but ran 6.16 miles in 1 hour, 1 minute, 36 seconds. Average speed, 5.9. We're lighter than I can tell. Max speed, 10.6. Average pace, 10 minutes flat. Best pace, 7:10. So, a little slower on some days, but again, I am drenched as I'm trying to walk this off, and today I didn't quite have it, but that's okay. All right, next week we're going to talk about chi running and how to maintain good posture. Chi running and how to maintain good posture. Go to the blog, you'll hear the information here in just a minute, and you might want to watch Danny's video. That will reiterate what we've talked about today. But I appreciate you being with me, and I will look forward to seeing you in just a few days. Hope your week is going great. Remember to practice your chi, and if you're not a chi runner, hang in there with me. We'll move on to something else here for too many more episodes. But I appreciate the response I'm getting, and it's obvious that a lot of people are interested in this, and I think that's a good sign. But we will talk to you later. Have a great week. I've enjoyed having you along with me for this episode. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. While you're there, take the survey or check out the past podcasts and posts. I would especially encourage you to search for Chi Running in the search box at the blog and check out the podcasts that relate to Chi Running. While you're there, you can also send me an email, send me a photo, or your most recent race report, be it written or a wave or audio file. I love hearing from my listeners, getting feedback, receiving photographs, things like that. Let me hear from you.
Another thing I would ask you to do is if you enjoy this program, please share it with your running friends. Refer them to the blog and tell them we would love to have them also listening to the podcast. And finally, if you could go to iTunes and give me a review, I would appreciate that so much. I look forward to seeing you in 7 to 10 days with another episode of the podcast. Until then, I hope your running's going great. Don't forget to practice your chi. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.